nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Happy October, October 1st, 2019. And the first Tuesday of the month, that would be today, is Dr. Mark Cercas. We'll have fun. He's a good one. We've known Dr. Cercas for a long time. And we had him on one or two times a month ago. We said, man, we should just do this every month. Would you like to? He said, sure. So he's a cool guy. Acupuncturist, doctor of oriental medicine, pastoral medicine, lots and lots of books, writes a lot of cool things. He has ebooks, and he has paperbacks too. In his paperbacks, he's got a whole thing on a whole book on transdermal magnesium therapy, anti-inflammation oxygen therapy, healing with miracle marijuana, healing with iodine, sodium bicarbonate, two of them on an audiobook on sodium bicarbonate. And he also has an ebook that I bought on hydrogen, one of our favorite things these days. And trying to get the name of that guy if you want to get that. Oh, Hydrogen Medicine. It's an ebook, second edition. And also another ebook, sodium bicarbonate. He does consultations there. He's working on a cancer thing. He also has a compendium on surviving cancer. And then I talked to Dr. Cercas this morning, said, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing great. A little busy, a lot of things happening. Dr. Cercas, first off, good morning.
Good morning. And hey, Patrick.
And how is it possible you have a lot of things? I mean, you're in the middle of the jungle. You should just be feeding the monkeys, no?
But we have monkeys. We have them.
I know you do.
We do. But yeah, it's amazing. I can be, sometimes I don't even get out of the house, but it's like I live in a castle, so it's quite a bit of space. And it's amazing how intense my life can be just being still.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have a lot of, I had a big family, and you do consults and you write. And any other projects that you're into that we don't know about?
Well, I'm about to open, after 13 years of building, the sanctuary I built here. Oh. Now, I built a paradise at the and I am at the end of the world. I'm in the deep valley. Hmm. The nearest town is a half hour over a dirt road going through the mountains. And the nearest city is 2.5 hours, 3 hours away, Brasilia, the federal capital. So we haven't been in a rush to open because we live here and we like our private life. Me and my wife are both pretty certifiable recluses at this point. Mm-hmm. Yet we're looking to kind of move away from that, open this place, work with couples, one of our strong works. My wife is a Reiki master. And she has a lot of students. And one of our things we want to get into in the future is the working with couples and doing couple therapy, but really more like teaching people to use communication and their own conflicts to do their own therapy independent of a therapist. So we're not looking to be like therapists and just do that. We're really teaching people to do it themselves, which is what I do in medicine. I teach people how to treat themselves independently of me or anybody else.
Of anybody else. Yeah, you've always been very generous with your information, recommending all kinds of products that you have no financial interest in, and you've always been a broad base like that. Yeah. You know, the couples thing is curious, and I suspect you're onto something. I'm sure you know that, but you know, a man, a woman, or two people get together, I mean, they're going to have little buttons that they're going to want to push, because that's one of the reasons why they got together, and so they can work through those as their own therapy. Huh? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I'm a disciple. I'm like the last of the Mohegans, the really last of a process called creative conflict. Uh-huh. I might have mentioned it to you in a past show. It was a practice at the University of the Trees, and the director was Christopher Hills.
Oh, yeah.
And Christopher Hills, he was the guy who brought spirulina to the world 35 years ago.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So we had about 40 people there, and the goal was to create a group consciousness by working on all the egos inside the group. And all the conflicts, and we had businesses, so there was plenty of space for conflicts and personality stuff. It didn't work. In the end, it didn't work. The thing fell apart. But I adapted it to my relationship with my wife. The process of creative conflict is really for groups, which is three or more. And I wrote a book about that, about small group consciousness and family life, called The Marriage of the Souls. But even three, it's very rare today that you have, you know, polyamory relationships where you have three or four or five people in a loving group that where they practice sexuality and everything. Mm-hmm. And the couple's breaking down, not too many people are too successful with the couple. But I learned how to use this process for therapy and in my relationship with my wife. So we're together 23 years, and you know, we totally fell in love with each other, so we had this incredible love, but we also had some pretty deep conflicts that we had to work out through time, through years and years and years. And at the end of the process, we have what I wrote about in this book, The Marriage of the Souls, The Second Coming of Pure Love. I have a chapter in that book called Divine Romance. It's kind of romance that comes in like a tide that never goes out. Mm. And I have achieved that. Mm-hmm. But I've achieved it through, I mean, we had the love story, and now we have the love story the same, but deeper, tested, have worked out all our conflicts, so we don't have conflicts anymore. But we didn't avoid any. We went through them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
very good, very nice. Yeah, I get the kind of picture. The vision for me is like two souls coming together and just getting closer and closer and closer and closer. But it's not like you just kind of jump right in there, right, and get all tangled up. You kind of move in with love and grace and charm and.
Well, I don't want to go through the whole story, but we jumped in the beginning.
Oh, did you? Yeah, like most people do, right?
And then, but it was a complicated story because her husband had just left her. My wife was having an affair with my dentist. So I was still married.
Jeez.
And in a relationship with kids. Oh. She had a kid, but her husband, and we got together, and we even lived together, my wife and her, but it didn't work out. So in the very beginning, it was like this total romantic love story, and then the conflicts came, and then years of working through that. Of course, I left my wife. She just couldn't. She gave me the ultimatum that I couldn't even see my new wife, Luciana. Mm-hmm. So that was just impossible. I just couldn't but it almost killed me.
Yeah.
But I made it through to the other side, and I built my life again. And so that's one of the things we want to do here. Of course, I have my health and medical work, and just to come here to retreat. It's just,
So you folks will come down maybe as a couple or as a group or something like that as you get kind of in.
Something like that.
Dr. Mark Serkis.
If the world doesn't fall apart.
Yeah, it doesn't fall apart before then, you know. If you'd like to be on the show, you can join us several ways. He's on the first, Dr. Serkis, very honored to have him the first Tuesday of every month. And it is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We were planning to, we don't plan much. When he comes on, he says, well, let's talk about this cancer. Last week, I think last month we did magnesium and had a lot of cool stuff there. And you had mentioned cancer. I said, oh, well, I just talked to Dr. Thomas Cowan this morning, and I sent him Dr. Cowan's show on cancer and water and structured water. And did you get a chance? I know it was late in the day. Did you get a chance to listen?
No,
to
I did. I did. I did.
Yeah. We had a big audience listening to it. A lot of folks probably on right now heard it. Give me your idea. What's your thoughts on what he said?
Well, first of all, I have a book on water. I call it Water Medicine. So I'm very definitely deeply into water. Mm-hmm. What I would kind of shift the conversation to, or at least the beginning of our talk, is about human photosynthesis, meaning the interaction between water and light. I have in front of me my cancer course, this section called Human Photosynthesis. And I say, the story of light and biological life begins with water. Not only is the water in our cells sensitive to light, so is everything else, including our genetic material. The cells respond with hypersensitivity to influences that come from outside the cell. According to the leading researcher in biophotons, a German physicist named Fritz Albert, Pop, light is constantly being absorbed and re-emitted by DNA molecules within each cell's nucleus.
Hmm. Light.
Kind of like the abstract.
Yeah.
And, well, it's light and water. You know, the first guy I talk about is, you might know him, Dr. Gerald Pollack.
Yeah, we do. He's going to come back on the show. Pollack, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, in the world today, I would say he's the number one water guy.
Yeah, he knows it.
I've been exposed and had the visitors here from Russia. Some pretty, you know, a lot of Russians are really into water also. But Pollack, you know, he's a Westerner and he knows his stuff. And his main thing is that this whole chapter I'm going to be talking about is, you know, light deficiency is a major cause of cancer.
All kinds of light, not just sunlight?
Well, sunlight has almost, you know, has all the frequencies.
Right.
So you're getting everything from sunlight. Mm-hmm. But we just talk about light. I'm into light, I'm into color, I'm into color psychology, so the different colors. Mm-hmm. And every color has its own effect on us.
Yeah.
But the bottom line from yesterday's conversation is that structured water, which is one of his main points, you know, the health of the cells is very like in a physical mathematical relationship to the structure, the healthy structure of the water in the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only in the cells, but also the fluids around the cells.
Yeah.
And the electrical charges.
Yeah.
So what Paula comes in and says is that it is light that gives the structure to the water, and he calls it easy water.
The sun, when he says light, Doc, is he?
Well, yes, let's talk, yeah.
Yeah, we'll think in terms of the sun for now.
You can assume it's the sun.
Okay.
You know, I'm into, you know, not everybody can get the sun. Some people, you know, the sun doesn't work for them because they live in Sweden, and you know, 8 months a year there's no ultraviolet.
Sun. Yeah.
So you have lamps. You can buy lamps for $500. So, you know, give like solar UV light to make vitamin D. There's these red lights and these near infrared lights. Sure. I've been for years into far infrared. So, but there's a lot of details, but bottom line is the energy of life comes from, he looks at water, I'm going back to Pollack, as like batteries, and there it has energy. When it has structure, it has energy. But he says that you can't get something from nothing, you know, to get this energy. So he talks about light. And he's not the only guy. I mean, there's a heavy guy. There's one guy from MIT. He's a chemist, Dr. Daniel, I can even hardly say his name, Nasser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he agrees, and he basically says that he has these experiments, And sunlight turns water into energy. So his formula is sun plus water equals fuel.
Fuel.
Fuel. And then we go, what is fuel? What is the fuel of life? What's the fuel of the universe? Hydrogen. What's the fuel that's going to save the human race if we last long enough to be around? It's hydrogen. It's, you know, hydrogen is, you know, necessary for life, for us, plants, rockets, planes. Well, not planes. Well, yes, flying cars, trains, and buses. They all exist already using hydrogen, and cars, of course.
Yeah, so when you say hydrogen, you're talking about a more creative way to use the H of the H2O.
Right. And, you know, this gets very deep into stuff where, you know, human photosynthesis, you know, we don't think of humans being like plants.
Yeah.
Right. But we are.
We are. We got these little roots, right? We got the little roots laying in our tummy like the plants. And
Well, kind of, sort of. Yeah, you're stretching our imagination.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm stretching that one. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
But like plants, you know, we need carbon dioxide, we need oxygen, we need the minerals, and we need water.
Oh.
And with just those things, we can pretty much survive. Some gurus, and I wrote about a guy once who was experimented on by scientists, he didn't eat.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys who don't eat. So we have very deep in us this capacity to create life like a plant does. But we need light. We need to be fully hydrated. And having a problem, which the medicine wants us to have, you know, modern medicine, the federal government, the AMA, the FDA, CDC, they all want us to get sick. They do. They really want us to get sick. They're sick institutions that promote sickness. And the biggest example of that is the sun. I mean, there are other big examples, but let's just take the sun. What do most people think? Oh, I got to go out in the sun. I need to put sunscreen on because I'm going to get cancer if I don't get enough sun. Mm-hmm. If I get too much sun. And too much sun to dermatologists means going out for 5 minutes without sun protector. You should even use it in the house, some of these crazy doctors. Or you go near a window in the house and you better have sun protection. It's that pathetic. But the science is that, and just like a plant, if you deny a plant light and water, it's going to die. And we're going to get cancer. We might not die so fast if we live in the dark or in the shade. But we need light. We need the sun. Because its lack of it, not only is it lack of vitamin D, which it is, and there's plenty of research that says, you know, your chance of getting breast cancer 60%, 67% more if your vitamin D levels are low. I mean, there's plenty of studies like that. But light is more than just a creation of vitamin D. It's that, and there's photons, there's energy. And we, the mitochondria are lights, they're like our plants inside. They're light sensitive. You're not going to have healthy metabolism and a healthy body while you're starving for light.
In general,
so light can be used to treat cancer.
Yeah. In general.
And to avoid it.
In general, is there more cancer in just areas that get a whole lot less light? Has there ever been? They must be able to look at that on the weather thing. And do we know?
There's a little bit.
Yeah, not too
there's
much.
There's a little bit of information about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there are places in like Scotland or England, Sweden, Norway, Finland that, you know, for they lose the light or the capacity to create vitamin D from light for many months at a time.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about more about the water. So Dr. Cowan yesterday was talking about, if I have this right, and I think similarly, Pollock calls it like the fourth phase of water, where it's just more and more of a gel, right? And that's, Cowden said that's on the same thing as the inside of the blood vessels, which is what makes the blood go up and down and around, and not necessarily the heart, which he says is not a pump, like we believe it to be. And so he was talking, let's see if I have this right, Doc, yesterday, this idea that the ATP is kind of heating up maybe the protein and the water to kind of make this gel a little bit in this fourth phase of water in the cells.
Well, you know, I'm a great guy to create concepts. You know, my wife used to joke with me for years about that. Can make a concept out of anything. And concepts are approximations of reality.
Sure.
Descriptions and mental models.
Yes.
Like the climatologists have these models, computer models for the climate. Doesn't matter to them if they're right or wrong. They just love their models.
Like the cancer model he talked about yesterday.
Yeah, was talking using his own model.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, ATP is the energy currency of the cell.
Mm-hmm.
As such, energy represents heat. So he's in the right ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's good to have pictures and things like that. It helps us to, you know, whether or not it's exactly the way it is. You know, it's still
right.
It's just like you're doing the hydrogen and stuff. Yeah. So,
You know, one of the things, one of my big, you know, I have this chapter about the sodium bicarbonate.
Yes, you do.
And I have it. Well, I have a book about it, and I have many articles that are not even in the book, but because that was 10 years ago. And the most recent research from a Standard Cancer Institute, the Ludwig Cancer Institute, gives us the kind of information that says, or should lead us to conclude, that every single cancer patient should be taking bicarbonate.
Hmm.
And we can talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm putting bicarbonate into the cells, into the body, into the fluids, into everything. Is one way, a practical way, not theoretical, practical way of helping the cells gain energy. So these, you know, what he talked about yesterday about the charges around the cells that keep them, you know, in their place and far enough away from each other so they don't clump together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, bicarbonate is a practical way to help the structure of the water.
Is it alkalizing it, or what's it doing? Do we know what it's doing to the cells, the bicarbonate?
Well, yeah, yes. Well, you know, the thing that from the Ludwig Cancer Institute, they talked about what it does to cancer cells.
Sure, yeah.
We could talk about what it does to regular cells and what it does to cancer cells. What it does to cancer cells, and you got, when we talk about bicarbonate, and when I take bicarbonate, you know, yesterday he talked about the sodium and potassium. I don't just take sodium bicarbonate. I take a mixture of sodium bicarbonate, potassium bicarbonate. So you get less salt and more, you get lots of bicarbonate, less salt and more potassium and a magnesium in the same product. And what bicarbonate will do is when it goes first of all, it turns to carbon dioxide in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And once it gets into the blood, it goes into the blood back as bicarbonate. And in the blood, bicarbonate and CO2 are like twin sisters. They turn into each other at the speed of light with the help of almost at the speed of light with an enzyme. So whenever we talk about bicarbonates, we're talking about CO2 physiology.
Mm-hmm.
The worst cancer cells, you know, you take a tumor and you go into the middle of the tumor where the nastiest cancer cells are, the ones that are the most difficult to kill with chemotherapy or radiation, the stubborn bastards. These cells are hypoxic. They're very acidic. The tissue area around them is acidic. They're not using any oxygen or very, very little. They're just fermenting. All cancer cells will ferment. And you flood these cells, you know, because when you take bicarbonate, you can easily flood every square millimeter of the body, like hydrogen. It gets everywhere. It's not like a local thing. It goes, you change the whole physiology of the body, not so much the blood, because the blood is very tightly controlled. And what happens? You go into these cancer cells, the bicarbonate gets in them, and it reverses their acidity. It puts a kind of a pH acidic blanket on them. And it, according to the Ludwig Cancer Institute, it turns on their circadian rhythm, which they have turned off. Circadian rhythm means like human regular cells, you know, should eat for 12 hours and rest and recuperate and rejuvenate for 12 hours, basically. It's the clock, circadian rhythm. So the cancer cells, and the nastier the cancer cells, the more they do this, they shut off the clock so they can eat 24/7. They want to eat, because they want to grow and be aggressive and nasty, and they need to eat to be really nasty. So the bicarbonate floods in and turns on their clock, so they can't eat like they want to, and that makes them vulnerable and easier to kill. So that's just one, that's the most recent scientific information that's been published.
That's more just recently, huh?
Yeah, why everybody should be taking bicarbonate. It's the same thing as why everybody should be breathing. Oh, I went to my oncologist yesterday and he suggested I stop breathing and just do chemo. Or, oh, it doesn't matter drinking water anymore, you know, you can be dehydrated. Now, there's certain things we have to do. You know, we're not supposed to step in front of buses and cars and trains, and we need to keep doing breathing slowly as possible if you really want to recover from cancer. You need to be fully hydrated. You need to get sun, like plants. Well, here we are, we're talking plants again. You need to get the right minerals. And you need bicarbonate.
So, last month you recommended product that neither of us have a financial thing in this, but it's called pH Adjust, and I bought some on Amazon, and you can get it for like $20. pH Adjust, and that's one of your favorite. You like that because it's a potassium, sodium, magnesium, bicarbonate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, folks, you can try that and play around with that if you'd like. Stay right there. Dr. Mark Cercas is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We love this Pearl Seam product for brushing your teeth. And also, if Pearl has been used in Ayurvedic medicine for actually calcium absorption into the cells and make the little ATP guys more happy, too. We're talking about that. And this is something about the teeth from Dr. Xu. Previously, we talked with Dr. Rulin Zhu about using Pearl Seam on your teeth.
You have to experience it to believe it.
Yeah, you do. That's what I've been saying to my listeners. I keep saying, can't even explain this. Just buy it. Just click on it, buy some. Trust me. Just trust me. And you're going to like the way your teeth look. That's what I keep telling.
Dentists, they did an experiment on their clients, and they literally prove, and they literally show the picture every day. You know, when they take it in a few days, their tooth literally become, like you said, like a pearl. And it looks so beautiful and really white and shiny. Yeah, it really works. And it's also scientifically proven by the experiment. And he literally proved it is not only good for your teeth, he also proved it's also good for your gum.
try some of this pearl sandwich. I think you're going to love it. You can try it internally as well. Helps with sleep. Great way to get absorbable calcium, and also on your face. You'll see the green ad there, the beautiful green container. Get the capsules or the powder. Pearlseum, click and order, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Mr. Living Streams, Wayne Blakely, about our Bifido product.
In Americans, we eat food without theatrimonicot, which is in curcumin. The turmeric plant is grown in India. It's full of yttrium. Take and convert it to curcumin and concentrate, which is loaded with yttrium. We eat that curcumin. And if you have the right bacteria in your gut, you'll absorb that. You'll actually usually utilize that in your digestion. But if it's not there, then the body will utilize calcium. Get the yttrium out of the curcumin, okay? Mm-hmm. Get the yttrium out of it. You have to have those two bacteria in the lower tract. What I did was I took the two bacteria, pre-digested it, so you've got the product already digested. So that's why it works on everybody. If you don't have those two bacteria in your digestive tract, you can't absorb that stuff. It's not absorbable.
The yttrium.
The yttrium or the curcumin, it cakes up in the lower tract is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It won't break it down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I pre-digested it. It's the bacteria in there. It is loaded with bacteria. I mean, there's 90 million per milliliter in there. They're all alive, too. They're not dead like powdered stuff. You know?
Yttrium, who'd have thunk it? Wow, this is a marvelous nutrient that is essential to absorb our nutrients. And it's barely there in American soils. Where you get it now in Bifido, Living Streams, in our store, the Bifido product, OneRadioNetwork.com. So we like to take that every day when we structure our water, put a little Bifido, and you can use the Bifido too for the small intestine, the SIBO, and you can get that little baby down there by putting it in your ear and then, you know, turn your head over and letting it drain down there and going back and forth and hold it so it doesn't drain out. That's kind of fun. You can also use Bifido too in your eyes, which I've been doing, and yuck stuff comes out every morning when I do that. These are great products. There's about 10 or 14 in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. Also, I want to mention Moringa. It's just the more you read about Moringa and an Ayurvedic doctor on our show a couple weeks ago, and we liked her so much, she's going to come back, and she was talking about how some cool stuff going on with Moringa. This is a wonderful plant, and Wayne has figured out a way how to put this into a probiotic where it's all pre-digested. And boy, you could take a hit of this and you can feel it. It's very powerful. Probably, I don't know, the best, but I think it's a very interesting way to take Moringa, which is a God thing. And all of these are from Living Streams in our store. If you'd like to talk to someone and give you more information, more particulars, Wayne's kind of careful about everything he says because of the FDNA and all that. You know what I'm saying. So anyway, you can talk to Marilyn. Her number is 360-912-2981. 360-912-2981. And, you can get some ideas, but then please do come back to our website and order. You don't want to order through her because then that's, how we make our living. We get a little commission on these products that we promote. So just order through our website, and you'll be good to go.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Well, it's the first Tuesday of the month, and Dr. Mark Sirkis has agreed to be here with us on that day, and that's today. He talks a lot about hydrogen. He has a Hydrogen Medicine Second Edition ebook, and also a second edition ebook on sodium bicarbonate. And you can get that on his website, or I also, Amazon has your ebooks too, right, Doc?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it better for folks?
Yes.
Would you prefer they buy it through your website? Could we send them there?
Doesn't matter? Well, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Go to drcircus.com and get these ebooks. Don't go to Amazon. Doctor, because he probably has to pay Amazon to help him sell them. Why not, drcircus.com.
Right.
And you know how that works. And he's got a lot of kids, man. You got a lot of mouths to feed. Oh, God, love you.
Yeah, and on that, I do have six kids, and I do have mouths to feed, and I have several in university. So it's not totally correct to characterize me as having no financial interest in any of the products I promote.
Okay.
I don't talk about it. Like the pH Adjust is one example. I designed the product.
Oh, you did? Oh, cool. Great. Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, that's good. That makes me want to buy it even more. So it's cool. But we all need to have a little financial interest in something. Otherwise, we'd be on the street saying, feed me. You know, I work for food, whatever. Just the way it works.
Exactly.
Just the way it works, you know. It's not a terrible thing. Patrick Timpone, along with Dr. Mark Cercas. On the cancer, so let's talk about what Dr. Khan was talking about, this idea, and, you know, if this is similar, the way things are all working. So when the electrons, when the electrons are removed or the energy is removed from the cells, he was saying that they clump up together and that would be like a tumor. Did I hear that right? Is that how it works? Kind of, sort of?
Well, when I listen to that, well, for sure, he talks about water. Certainly central to life. Electrical charge. Again, I don't know if you've ever had Dr. Jerry Tennant on your show.
We have several times. He's a good one.
Yeah. So he also talks exactly about that and talks about the change, the voltage change, you know, of cancer cells. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, as the cancer cells, as cells lose their charge, they go through many different gradients. And at the bottom of that, you know, before death is cancer. In fact, cancer is a way of avoiding death.
Thanks for saying that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Well, it's true. It's true.
It's true, really.
Because when the conditions, like the structure of the water and the lack of minerals and the lack of light and all, you know, all the poisons, as a cell gets totally down, the energy goes down, the ATP goes down, oxygen deprivation, you know. Well, at the very end is death. But what these cancer cells do is, well, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. So we have a way of, okay, living without oxygen. Normally we'd have to die to, you know, but no. We'll change ourselves back to what life was like a billion years ago, and we'll live without the oxygen. Even if it's there, we won't use it, and survive as cancer cells. So it's kind of like a survival mechanism of the cell. And some people even think it's not just on a cellular level, but it's on the whole biological level, like our organism. We don't want to die. But we need to. The conditions in our body are such that it's killing us, but we don't want to die now. So let's form cancer colonies, and lock up the worst of the poisons like mercury. The cancer cells will concentrate the mercury. So yet there's no stopping death. Even if you're healthy, and perfectly healthy, and live a perfect life, there's still no stopping death. Sooner or later, whether it be at 100 or 120, let's push it to a maximum of 130, you're going to die. So his explanations, you know, with your question, it's kind of simplistic. It was nice, you know, okay, he had his ways and talking about, you know, water for sure, electrical charges for sure, density, but there's many things.
Sure,
it's
of course.
Like cooking a real stew.
Yeah, there's always more. There's always another step. There's always that and fleshing out of everything. Yeah, of course. Let me put it this way. Do you think there is some real evidence, anecdotal, scientifically or otherwise, to say that particular foods contribute to or take away this little energy thing we were talking about in the cells, this electrical charge?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm not a nutritionist. My son just graduated from school. He shouts in my ear sometimes. So I'm not a fanatic about any particular approach to food. you know, my wife and I, you know, neither of us are fanatics about food, yet we've known a lot of purists. Mm-hmm. And some of the people who eat the best are sometimes the sickest.
What they think is the
best.
Well,
what they think is the best.
Right.
I mean, and it could be the best, but still becoming fanatical about food, like food is the answer to everything, when it's not. When it's not.
Yeah, it's just,
so
I suspect we get too attached to anything, it's going to be hard on the organism, right? And whatever it is, an idea, a theory, or a diet, or whatever.
You know, Christopher Hills used to teach, you know, with every thought comes a problem.
Well, he's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, in a sense, yeah, yeah.
And especially if we have negative thoughts. And just because just thoughts, the energy of a thought has an electromagnetic energy around it. So if we're stressed out thinking shitty things, you know, you can eat a perfect diet. This is part of my answer to your question. And it's still not going to be enough. And you know, I'm thinking, I want to talk about Dr. What's her name? Budwig?
Budwig. Budwig.
What's her first name?
Not sure, but you know, you're talking about the cottage cheese and the oil thing?
Right. Well, what, you know, she was a genius.
Really?
And, you know, one of the parts of the Budwig diet and her whole thing with cottage cheese and the seeds and mixing them together is to provide the highest quality fat.
Mm.
And we go back to the, you know, yesterday, and we talk about water and the mitochondria making the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Is when the mitochondria start this into dysfunction, it's the lipids that their walls are made out of start deteriorating. So really high profile fats is like a really super food for the mitochondria for energy production. So whether, you know, and if you didn't have cancer, you know, her work and her diet, or at least parts of it, makes a lot of sense.
Hmm.
You know, as I say, I'm not a cancer expert. I mean, diet expert,
right?
Nutritional expert. But, you know, I'd lean towards suggesting a ketogenic diet for cancer patients, or even for people who want to lose weight. You know, some people, there's one guy, what's his name, Chris for Cancer?
I don't know him.
You hear?
No.
He just, you know, released a Square One Healing Cancer coaching program. He got hundreds of thousands of people involved, and his big thing, of course, is diet. But he's totally against ketogenic diet.
Fat.
You know, it's like... You know,
I understand. No, I understand. Well, people,
there's a lot of fanaticism.
There really is.
For sure. Yeah. For sure, the answer to your question is yes, eating good foods, lots of vegetables, organics, cancer, for anybody, low sugar. That doesn't have to be super low sugar, because you can eat fruits, it's a nice form of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, processed foods. Yeah, you know, I've been reading a lot. I have this book right in front of my face here. I'm going to pick it up. It's called Unsafe at Any Meal.
Oh, that's great.
By Dr. Renee Joy Dufault.
Dufault.
She used to work for the FDA.
Ooh.
She was an FDA person.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brought things to her superiors, and they told her to shut up and close down the research. So she retired and wrote this book.
Oh, excellent.
And what she was researching, one of her responsibilities was for the laboratories in government and the FDA, CDC, and they were finding mercury pollution in the pipes.
In the pipes of the water or the home?
In the water pipes, in the, I guess, the drainage systems and whatever. That was accumulating in the bottom of the pipes in the laboratories.
Huh.
And she's, you know, they were, you know, it took a while, but she was looking, where is this mercury coming from?
Indeed.
And she, you know, went, she just, you know, like a hound dog, you know, she kept following the trail. And how do you say that? Let me see. The chlorine plants, they call them. These are kind of plants in the country. Not too many of them. They make chlorine.
Make chlorine, yeah.
Chlorine, and I'd have to read it again to be really clear with everybody. But bottom line, you know, like what is that? The most junky sweetener. What is that?
High fructose corn syrup.
The corn syrup, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
high fructose, yeah.
It's penetrated with mercury.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's used a lot in a lot of foods, especially processed foods. You know, one of my specialties, and we could talk about this more another time, I wrote a book. I never actually published it in its as a book, but it's called The Rising Tide of Mercury.
Hmm.
And my first exposure was with Dr. Rashid Butta. He developed for autism patients transdermal DMPS for his son. And then I got involved with Dr. Boyd Haley. You know Haley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And I'm going to be recommending his chelation product.
Yeah. Is that off yet? I know that they took it off the market, OSR, years ago. But he's back, almost close to bringing it out again.
Well, I don't know if I tried to talk to him a couple of weeks ago, and I got through, and then my internet was crap. But I'm not sure if he is actually selling it. But
okay.
There is a company I'm in contact with that does sell it.
Yeah,
I don't know if he authorizes it or not. But one of my patients got it from this guy, and he loved it.
Yeah,
and that's why I got back in touch with Boyd.
Yeah.
But bottom line, Boyd was my chemical rock, you know, where I could put my 10 feet and know I was standing in truth. I wrote this book. And, you know, one thing that nobody likes to talk about, government or health, I was even listening to a video this morning from Klinghart, who I like very much.
Dietrich.
And he didn't even, he didn't even mention mercury as a top four problems. But we're getting mercury in the air, in our water, in our food. Dentists are still putting it in people's mouths. And it's one of the basic forms of cancer, the causes of cancer.
Do you think the hydrogen helps to get the mercury out at all?
Mm-hmm.
Be a stretch?
That would be stretching.
Okay, be stretching. Yeah. So what he's talking about is Dr. Boyd Haley. We had him on a show years ago, and we've contacted him, and he's going to come back on. He used to be University of Kentucky, and he figured out he's probably knew more about mercury than anybody, and he developed a product called OSR, Oxidative Stress Relief, and it was out there, and the FDA made him stop selling it, but that's the last I heard that he was maybe working through Europe or something and trying to produce it again, so we'll have to do more research, you know.
It is available.
Oh, it is available.
And if any time you want to do a show, you know, have somebody else come on with me on our first Tuesday of the month, you know, I'd love to be there with him.
Sure. Yeah.
And this guy.
Yeah.
Salt of the earth kind of guy.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. Do you know what he said years ago? And I haven't got a confirmation of it. I asked my dentist, Dr. Nunley, who was going to meet him at a conference. And on the show, he said, now this was 10 years ago, that he wasn't all that concerned about the mercury in fish. And Dr. Haley said the reason is because of the selenium or something in the fish that it just doesn't stick in our body or doesn't get into our body. He said that.
Yeah, this is a very interesting subject. You know, selenium is, you could say it's a chelator of mercury. It bonds, you know, the affinity between mercury and selenium is kind of absolute.
Hmm.
I mean, if you have a lot of selenium, so when you eat something, you know, like tuna fish, which I still kind of stupidly do sometimes. And but if there's selenium in the food at the same time as it's going through the stomach, it's going to be bonded to the selenium, so it's not going to get absorbed into the body. It's going to be eliminated because a chemical compound between selenium and mercury is kind of absolute. You can't, it's too strong of a bond. It can't be broken.
Maybe that's what he was. It's been 10 years
that's
ago.
What he,
yeah, that's probably oh, what yeah. he was talking about. Yeah. Wow.
That's what he's talking about.
Well.
And selenium, this is very, you know, I'm one of the few doctors who's written, or only, I don't even know anybody else, has written a book about selenium.
You wrote a whole book on it?
I wrote a whole book about it. I was almost dying when I wrote that book. That was like 6 years ago.
Really?
I was having incredible, I was on the floor screaming, and I get back in my chair and I was writing this book.
Oh my goodness.
There was a doctor who was born in 1898. I guess he died in 1998. His name was Dr. Rivinsi.
Oh yeah, Rivinsi. We know him.
Rivinsi.
Yeah.
And he created, at the end of his life, he was a surgeon in New York. And he was one of the big geniuses of medicine in the last century.
Yeah, he was on it.
And he created a form of selenium that was bonded to a lipid. And this is what I use. There's only one company in the world that makes it. And I don't have any financial interest in this. It's about 10,000 times less toxic than any other form of selenium.
Whoa.
Every selenium product, they're either, if you look around, they're either 55 micrograms to a maximum of 200 micrograms.
Mm-hmm.
So you take one of the best ones, the best is the 200 microgram tablets that are made from yeast, made with yeast.
Wow.
So the yeast created the selenium is the best. So each tablet of that is 200 micrograms. Five times, taking five of those pills is a milligram.
Yes.
This selenium that I recommend to everybody is each drop is a milligram.
Each drop is a milligram. Whoa.
So okay. Each drop is from 5 to 20 times higher than other products. The first time I took it about 5 years ago, I took 26 drops.
Whoa. You rascal, you.
So that's from 125 to 300 times so the normal dose. And I felt like Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier.
What do you mean? How did you feel when you took that?
Meaning, you know, I had some people freaking out, some of my professional partners and stuff. Oh, you can't do that. This selenium is toxic. And I took the 26 drops, and I didn't bat an eye. It was like nothing. It was no problem.
Why did you take that much? Just for an experiment?
It's just an experiment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I've been reading about it and talking to the manufacturer about it.
I see.
And I wanted to see, because I was going to start recommending heavy doses, because this doctor, and Dr. Rivisi, he used to inject it.
Wow. He used to inject?
And he injected it. So you can imagine the concentration. And I wrote my book on selenium, not just because of him, but when I found out there was actually a pharmaceutical company producing an injectable selenium for ICU departments.
Uh-huh.
Because it's an antioxidant.
Yeah.
It's like injecting magnesium or bicarbonate.
Supercharged.
So when you do use this selenium, you're doing double therapy. You're doing lipid therapy like Dr. Budwig, and you get injecting selenium. Instead of injecting it, you're just putting it under your tongue. And you can take very high dosages. So considering, you know, this problem with mercury, which is almost a universal problem, some places it's worse than others, West Coast is bad, Texas, Florida. I mean, there are lots of places that's really bad. Comes out of the coal plants.
Yeah, and the air with the oil and all that, I guess, is how we get in Texas, huh?
Yeah.
And what's the name of this product? Folks are going to want to know. This lipid thing?
It's called Tung Oil. T-U-N-G.
T-U-N-G oil. Tung Oil. Wow. So, I'm always curious, though, when you these kind of things, if we jolt the body with a whole bunch of selenium, even if it's in a non-toxic form, does it not, though, have a tendency to want to bounce other things out of balance?
It's not been my experience.
No, it's not. Okay.
Selenium is one of the mysterious minerals that scientists are still investigating. You know, that we have these selenium proteins in the body. Selenium is an absolute necessity for the creation of glutathione in the body, as is magnesium. It has this binding capacity to mercury. It stimulates the immune system. I'm sure I forgot most of the things.
Sure.
I have to go back and read my book.
Yeah. There's a place, you probably have seen it, on the website where you can get the whole Ravisi's classic book, and it's actually a searchable one, too. Have you seen that?
Yes, I downloaded it.
The Crazy Pharmacist, I think that's the guy who had it on his website.
Yeah. You know, one of the things about selenium is if you're going to go for high dosages of iodine, selenium is a cofactor for iodine, so it also makes iodine therapy much safer. It's necessary, actually.
Oh, if you're gonna really juice up the iodine a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, which of course I do recommend also. It's iodine in the future, which is the present. You know, when we have antibacterial resistant infections and the maniacs with the vaccines. Now, I have a chapter written that iodine is a good replacement for antibiotics and vaccines.
Doing both.
So for both.
We're not getting enough selenium then with our Brazil nuts, in your opinion.
Well, you need to eat about 10 of them to get one drop
selenium. Okay, stay right there. Dr. Mark Serkis, Patrick Timpone, if you'd like to be on the show. We have some good emails coming in. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Here's a little bit on hydrogen that Dr. Serkis is a big fan of, and George's machine. Now, we get some interesting emails already with folks who are beginning to try this. Did you know the AquaCure Brown's Gas Machine reduces oxidative stress?
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it. First of all, you're repairing oxidative damage, but you're also reducing or eliminating free radicals. Now, we're only the bad free radicals, which is another reason why hydrogen is good, because you actually have free radicals in your body that you want to keep. Example, nitrous oxide.
The oxidative stress, is that the main thing that damages the DNA and causes the regeneration to stop, you know, youthing or getting older, immune organs? Is that at the base, George Weissman, of most of the issues?
It's one of the
just
bases,
one of them.
But this comes back to that regeneration thing that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The cells won't regenerate. You won't have stem cells and that sort of thing if you haven't got enough hydrogen.
And if our body is not generating enough hydrogen, we get dehydrated. Dehydrated. Lack of hydrogen. The AquaCure machine, 10% off, promo code ONERADIO. Use the promo code ONERADIO, 10% off in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Serkis, you know what I found? My thirst thing is coming back. And I'm getting more thirsty than I have in, I don't know, my whole, a long time, years and years and years, drinking the hydrogen water and breathing the gas.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's about.
So you drink, well, it means you're drinking more water?
Probably, yeah, or it's just more fun. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm drinking more water because I really need it. You know, I said, oh, I need some more water. Well, I never had that thirst mechanism working as much. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So this most modern people have lost a lot of the thirst.
The thirst mechanism thing?
Mechanism. Yeah.
Didn't Batman Gelich talk about that, where you get so dehydrated that your body just gives up, you know? So, something like that. Wow. So is it the orb and all the stuff with the hydrogen bubbled water, it's really hydrating our cells more? I mean, that's the way it works?
Well, sure. I mean... hydrogen therapy, especially the gas, usually breathing it in. What is oxidative stress? It's like the exhaust in a car. When you burn oxygen to create ATP, it's not a clean process, not totally.
Mm.
So it creates free radicals, these kind of substances in the body that like to compromise other substances because they're
that's what they do
missing an electron or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're burning pure hydrogen, see, in oxidative process in the mitochondria, we're actually breaking down food. Not just pure hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using hydrogen, like a car would, or a flying car, I'd love to get one of these flying cars that work on hydrogen, the exhaust is pure water.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The hydrogen buses and all that. Just pure water.
Right. Pure water. Mm-hmm. So hydrogen therapy, what it's doing is it's bringing down oxidative stress by combining the hydrogen, molecular hydrogen combines with free radicals, and what does it do to them? Turns them to water. So that's hydrating, meaning you're taking something that's kind of damaging and turning it to water, which is hydrating. So it's...
You're turning it into water, which hydrates you. Boy, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty brilliant. And so we normally get hydrogen through food, through our maybe more raw food, you said. Is that right?
Through food.
Through food.
Through, raw food, of course, would be yielding more hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go, I'm going to read you something. Go back to our original discussion about water and light.
Yeah.